My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Save big money on your entire roofing project at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and represents up to 40% of your home's exterior. Owens Corning architectural shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from over 40 options and save big money on all Owens Corning shingles now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, while protecting human rights and recognising the importance of the marginalised in our societies was a feature of how society actually operated in the early 2000s, the return of President Trump has ushered in an era where the importance of human rights has taken a back seat, to put it mildly. Well, my next guest's book seeks to remind businesses of their role in upholding high standards of social responsibility while ensuring they also keep their profits. It's my delight to welcome Michael Posner, who's the author of Conscious Incorporated. He's a lawyer and former United States Assistant Secretary for State for Democracy, Human Rights and Labour. You are very welcome to Down to Business. Thank you for joining us today, Michael.
Good to be with you.
Now, I think we better start with the elephant in the room. The last few months have been just a whirlwind of geopolitical turmoil. I'd like to get your assessment, first of all, on the implications of the sweeping changes that Donald Trump has made in just a couple of months in office.
Well, to put it mildly, he is challenging democratic norms that have benefited the United States and the world for 250 years. He's hollowing out government. He's challenging independent media. He's threatening to ignore court orders. He's diminished U.S. presence in the world in terms of U.S. aid, development aid. And in every respect, he's done more damage to our democratic institutions than I ever thought was possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's a stark reminder of exactly where we're at. Are you surprised at the speed and relative ease with which he's moved on big things like implementing what he said he would do in terms of DOGE and pulling back on DEI? Are you surprised at how little pushback there has been against those big ticket items?
On one level, I'm surprised. I think there's been a disappointing lack of reaction from Republican politicians, those in the U.S. Congress. But on another level, I'm not surprised because I never assumed that a president of the United States would take a view that's so antithetical to the basic premises of checks and balances, democratic constitutional structures. He's basically challenging the model that the founders of the United States created in the 1790s. Mm. And one other aspect, which is really important, is he's very personally vindictive. He's a bully. He's not only threatened people, but he's demonstrated that if you challenge him, he's going to strike back very hard. So I think in the first few months, people have been intimidated by that, a bit paralyzed and shocked by the pace and scope of what he's done. Mm. I think we're beginning to see a change in that. We're beginning to see people sort of coming out of the paralysis and saying this is just not good for the United States, it's not good for the world.
And who are the people, do you think, are doing that? Is it because of the changes in the bond markets that is motivating companies like Walmart that are actually having an effect? Or are there actual serious politicians and people who work within state like yourselves getting to him now? Or is there something else?
Well, it's happening at a couple of levels. As you say, the businesses, big businesses, companies like Walmart have been shocked by the tariffs, by the trade limitations, which clearly undermine the U.S. economy, but also undermine their own businesses. So they've been quite open in speaking out against that. But I would say more importantly, there have been others that have challenged what's happening more broadly. Harvard University notably challenged a range of demands from the administration, which would have made that university much less independent. That caused 550 school presidents to sign a joint letter and saying, we stand with Harvard and we're not going to be told by the federal government how to run our schools. Mm. Now, we've had 500 law firms challenge threats against one and another law firm who've been told, if you don't follow our views about DEI or take clients that we don't like, we're going to impose sanctions against you. So we're seeing, and the charitable sector, we've had a number of American foundations come together and say, we're going to stand together like NATO. If you attack one of us, we're all going to come to each other's aid. So we're beginning to see in different sectors that people are, that institutions are challenging what's going on. It's only beginning. It's not yet as effective as it needs to be. But I think this notion of collective action needs to play out across many sectors of our society.
Yes. And in that environment, in this climate that we're living in, income inequality, labor abuses, racial injustice, you could take your pick. Any of the items that you outlined there about Harvard, about the actions being taken against law companies to prevent them from tendering for government business, on and on it goes. enter into this space, your book, Conscious Incorporated. What motivated you to write this in the first place? And maybe talk to us a little bit about what you hope the book will achieve.
Yeah, well, of course, I didn't write the book with Trump in mind. I wrote it, 6 months, a year ago, really. And I don't think his name appears in the book. And the point of it is to say there's some combination of smart government regulation and corporate responsibility that needs to be the way forward in a globalized economy. Companies can no longer outsource responsibility in the way that they've done, for example, when they go to distant places to produce their goods cheaply or do their mining cheaply. They need to be aware that they have some responsibility for that. And so I make a case that companies can both be profitable, they can pursue healthy profits, while at the same time operating in a responsible way. I still believe that. I believe very strongly. Obviously, the deregulatory impulse of the Trump administration flies in the face of it. So I'm not writing for this moment in the United States, where I think we're barely holding on to that which we have. But on the flip side, the European Union and other countries in the world are, I think, in fact, governments are taking greater responsibility for regulating companies, but government alone can't do it. Mm. Companies have to step up and change the way they do business, and that's what the book is about. I've been at NYU in the business school for 12 years, running the first human rights center at a business school, and we're really trying to sort of make the point that this is what business leaders in the 21st century need to be thinking about and be prepared to do.
It's just an interesting question that, has always existed, I suppose, that it doesn't have to be one or the other. You don't have to be profitable, just profitable, and not have corporate responsibility. I think you know, we'd gone a long way down the road to promote corporate governance, corporate responsibility and regulatory powers. The problem, I suppose, is in the deregulatory environment that Trump presides over, it's making it harder to, within businesses, justify those things like ESG. And you mentioned the European Union there. Yes, we are better in terms of regulatory provisions than the USA, but you do see a diminution. If you just look at the Green Deal, for example, that has been diluted here in Europe now in favour of competitiveness. So whilst Donald Trump may not be part of your book, he's having a big effect on that question of profit versus social responsibility.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that that's true, but I'm sort of a chronic optimist. I think in the longer term, we're very far from where we were in the 1980s or 90s, where companies would say, you know, we follow local law and that's all that matters. We have a much greater understanding of what's happening. The internet has created, there's lots of problems with the internet and social media, but it's also made it much easier for people to see with their own eyes what's happening in, you know, Papua New Guinea or in Bangladesh or in Honduras. And so I think, and younger generation care more about these issues. There's no doubt that young people, women, are more attentive to these things than older white men who've controlled the economies for a very long time.
Yeah,
so I take the view, even if the European Union is kind of clumsy in the way they're regulating, and it's going to take them a while, it's not going to be a linear process, I have no doubt that in 10 years we're going to have more regulation of companies. And that's going to mean, whether it's coming from Europe or Australia or wherever, big global companies are going to be subject to those regulations. And it's going to have to, it's going to force them to change the way they do business.
Yeah, you're right, Michael. We be more optimistic. We are in a better place. We have more transparency. And, you know, the next generation do care a little bit more about those things than maybe the older one did. But let's look at your book for a little bit of guidance as to how people might resolve those issues in their own companies. I know you have case studies within the book. Can you give us an example of a company who maybe does this social responsibility plus profit really well?
Sure. You know, I look at a number of companies that have really changed the way they do business. One is Coca-Cola. I have a bit in the book about a labor dispute in South America, in Colombia. In 1990, two union leaders were shot and killed at a Coke bottling plant. And the initial response from the company was, we don't own the bottling plant. That has nothing to do with us. And through a series of actions, including by the general counsel, Deval Patrick, who then became governor of Massachusetts, the company made a judgment, a business judgment, in part because there was a public campaign called Killer Coke, which meant that Coca-Cola products were not sold on 100 U.S. university campuses. It had business consequence. And so the company made a judgment to bring in a guy from the International Labor Organization and essentially take responsibility for their bottling plants. They changed the way they did business. Mm. It didn't bankrupt the company. Coke's still doing fine. But they changed the way they thought about their responsibility in a global supply chain.
Well, Michael, it is certainly a book for our time, whether you wrote it with Donald Trump in mind or not. It will give a lot of people a pause for thought. And thank you very much for being with us today. That was Michael Posner, author of Conscious Incorporated. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTIX or Cosentix.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentix.